ourselves to 2 Chronicles, chapter 35. Last week, we studied about Josiah and how he had read the book of the Word to all the people. And they had made a covenant. He particularly made a covenant with the Lord. And they all stood along with him and said, yeah, this is the way it's going to be. Now, we got done with all that. And because of that, and he read the book. Now, this makes about the third time he's read it. He probably should have already known it. But anyway, the third time he had read about the law, and so he decides, well, we're going to practice a little bit of it here, you know. So in chapter 35, beginning with verse 1, it says, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Now, y'all remember we studied about the Passover a while back. It was I'm not going to get finished with the Passover today, and so I threw a couple of rabbit tracks in here. So hold your place here and turn to Exodus chapter 12. And we'll read verses 1 through 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month shall they take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make this count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And there shall you eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So, we're going to just make a few comments here. We're not going to spend much time here. We've already covered this. It's been a good while back. But we're going to be studying about it today, so why not read about the first one? First of all, it says it's going to be on the first month. That month is called Nisan, and they were to take the lamb on the 10th day of the month, and they were to put it up to make sure it was healthy, I'm assuming, and they were to care for it. And on the 14th day, then, they were to take it and kill it. Now, there were some other things here. If the house was too small, like say it was just a man and his wife or something like that, then they could join in with the neighbor. And the two families would use the one lamb. It had to be a male. And to take the blood, verse 7, they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and upon the upper door posts of the houses when you shall eat it. Now, I've been asked and thought about my own self, did any of the children of Israel die on account of this because they didn't put the blood on the doorpost? And I think the Lord just about made them do it. It was a commandment from God. You take and you do this. And if they hadn't, they would have died. Because what does he say here in verse 13? And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Without the blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin. Now, that has to do with us. The Passover dust. It's a picture to us, yes, but it doesn't apply directly to us. We are not instructed to keep the Passover. We are not Israel. Some preachers sort of think along those lines, and they're wrong. We don't replace Israel. Anyway, I want you to notice in verse 7 and 8, it says, they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh. In that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Okay? This was not a wasteful thing here, where people would say, I don't know, whatever you offer to the Lord, I don't think it's wasteful anyway. If he had said, you burn it all up. Now, he gave directions on what to do, what to offer, what to burn up. But the lamb or the kid was to be roasted with fire. In verse 9, eat it not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs, and with a pertinence thereof. Now, a pertinence is the edible organs inside. They were to all be roasted. They weren't to be boiled. And they were not to let any of it stay till morning to eat it like leftovers. Like Terry, she's got some leftovers today. But I didn't get to go to their house yesterday, and sounds like they had pork chops. And I really like pork chops. So maybe I can shame her into doing it again soon. But anyway, no leftovers. And how were they to eat it? Verse 11, thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. They were ready to go. You need to be ready to go. So, anyway, we'll let that be it for now. And we'll go ahead and go back to 2 Chronicles 35. Now, I did want to mention something else here. People have, and I've said this I don't know how many times, and Brother McCool has intimated towards it. Now, he's not as blunt as I am sometimes, but people have a tendency to think, well, you know, if you do your best, then that's good enough. God will accept it. Now, no. If you do what God says, God will accept it. But He is particular. He is particular. Why does He get into these things very specific? You'll notice that, you know, when we were talking about the Passover there just now, it was very specific. You were to be ready. He said, had your staff in your hand. You need to be ready to march now. And he said, eat it in haste. You don't sit around and go. No, you eat it in haste. You need to be ready to go. There's a reason for that. I don't know whether that has any part in why they were to eat it in haste, but, you know, the Lord was getting ready to send a death angel through Egypt, and he was going to kill the firstborn of every man, woman, child, and animal, and everything else. So the people eventually are going to be mad. They need to be up, ready to go, and out of there. Okay, 2 Chronicles 35, verse 2. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. Now, I studied a little bit more on this, and what charges? Okay, well, I don't know if any of you have ever attended an ordination. Sister Renee just put some pictures of your ordination up there. What happens at the end? Yeah, they lay hands on you, and you're charged to go and do the work that the Lord has for you to do. And this is what Josiah is doing here. He's charging the priests and encouraging them. Now, I don't know how much encouragement they needed. I mean, they had just heard him read the book of the law. They knew what they were looking at if they didn't do what the Lord told them to do. But he encouraged them. He said, we need to do this, and we need to do it right. Verse 3. And said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel. Now, I want to mention a few things about the Levites here. It says, and said unto the Levites that taught all Israel. Now, I don't know, usually people in the back of their Bible, they have a few maps and things. Sometimes they'll have a map and it shows where all the different tribes of Israel were. And you'll notice there's no place for the tribe of Levi. Well, that's not what the Lord had planned for them. They were to instruct all the people, not just the ones here. They were there to serve God and to instruct the people. And so they were set in the cities, and they lived in, I think it was 48 cities total throughout all of Israel, talking about the nation, not the kingdom, the nation of Israel throughout there in 48 cities. And also they were not just given places inside the cities, but also they were given the suburbs, that is the area surrounding the cities, up to 2,000 cubits away from there. So that was what they were given, and that's where they were to live, rather than have a separate state, so to speak. That's where they were supposed to live, and their duty was to serve God and the people. And the second little part there says, which were about the Levites, which were holy unto the Lord. Now, I know the Bible says we are to be holy. And you wonder, how can somebody like me be holy? I mean, you know, but that's what he says. And I'm not going to use the word that Connie said was a word for me or anything like that. But holily, we are to live holily. And it is a word. You don't have to take my word for it. Look it up. But holy unto the Lord. But then it goes on to say, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. So apparently the ark has not been in the Holy of Holies where it was supposed to be. It had been placed someplace else. Now there's multiple thoughts on this. Some say one of the earlier kings had removed it. Some say that it was hidden to keep it from being destroyed or stolen. And some think that it was that Josiah had it taken out to be repaired. Any damage done on it would be repaired. And I have no idea. There's, as far as I know, nobody can come up with any proof to any one of the multiple theories. But they were to put it back in the house of the Lord and in the place where it was supposed to be. Then it goes on to say, it shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. In other words, you're not going to have to move it anymore. They were going to put it there, and that's where it was going to stay. And all these people, they say, I don't know how many times I've read different things about the Ark of the Covenant is here, or the Ark of the Covenant is there. God says it's here. That's where it's at. It might be destroyed. It might be in a bazillion pieces. I think the Lord did not want this to be something that they could use as an idol. And so when Babylon took Judah, that it was destroyed. That's my opinion. No scripture to back it up. I figure my opinion is as good as anybody else's. But there is no ark to make a movie over or anything like that. There is no ark to bow down to. There is no ark for anything like that. So anyway, and then it goes on here, serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel. Okay, Levites, this is what it's going to be. You need to serve God and his people. Now, I don't know if Roger ever thought about this, but we're sort of kind of half-baked Levites. We are servants, right? Okay, I'm talking about deacons. We are to serve the church. We are to take care of the physical needs of the church. The pastor takes care of the spiritual needs of the church, mostly. And, you know, there's times when, we need to take care of our own self a little bit, you know, like get down on your knees and pray about things. We need to pray for him a lot. He's got a lot on his shoulders. He's a pastor of one of the God's true churches. Plus, he works outside the home. That's a lot. Plus, he has me for a deacon, so there you go. Anyway, verse 4, prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers. Okay, get ready by the houses of your fathers. What does that mean? Does that mean you go over on 3rd Street, you stand there and you put on your Levite clothes and everything like that? No. It's kind of a lineage type thing. Levites were descendants of Levi. And you did what your father did. You go along like that. After your courses, where you were supposed to be, doing what you were supposed to do. According to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son. They were given instructions what they were to do and how they were to do it and where they were to do it. Now, if we study a little bit more on the Passover, you know, there were Levites that they took care of the door. They let people in, let people out. There were Levites that killed the Passover. There were Levites that took the blood to the priest. And there were Levites that skinned, or they call it flayed, is what it's talking about here in the Bible, where they took the skin off of them so they could be roasted with fire, as they were instructed to in Exodus 12. So all these Levites, they had different things that they were to do. And in a situation like this, where there's going to be a lot done. And I think that, you know, they probably took shifts. You know, this guy did this long or something like that. Don't know that for sure, but it seemed reasonable. Anyway, in verse 5, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families and of the fathers of your brethren, the people, and after the divisions of the families of the Levites. So, stand in the holy place. Now, this isn't the Holy of Holies. This is just the inner court. This is where the offerings, the sacrifices were killed, and the blood was sprinkled, and then I've got a note here and I can't figure out what I'm saying. Okay, I understand now. Okay. Stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people. Okay? Each family, or a pair of families, or three families, however many it was, that were to bring in the Passover lamb. They were there. They were let in. They brought the lamb with them. And so these were the ones that the offering was made for. The brethren, the people. And also after the division of the families of the Levites, the same for them as their families came in and brought. And one of the reasons I thought that they probably worked in shifts is because, you know, if a guy was the one that was killing the Passover, he couldn't very well stop and offer his own offering. You know, he had to do it like the book says. And so somebody else had to take over for him. He says, my interpretation of this. I could be wrong. I says there's to be no private interpretation. So take that for what it is. It's my opinion. Anyway, verse 6. So kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Okay, so they were to kill the Passover, they were to sanctify themselves. Now this is a cleaning up process. They were to be purified. And not just, take somebody, you're close to the dry cleaners and get you a good shower and bath and everything like that, and you're ready to go. No, you need to be pure spiritually too, morally and physically. You were to be prepared and sanctified and prepare your brethren. What's that mean? Well, you know, they haven't had a whole lot of teaching going on for a while. I mean, Josiah had brought back a lot of stuff, but he's just now getting started on the Passover. I don't know if they had been having any kind of offerings or sacrifices up to this point. It doesn't talk about them. Anyway, it says, prepare your brethren, instruct them, teach them. That's what we're here for. One of the reasons we're here for, anyway, is to be instructed in God's Word. So prepare your brethren that they may do according to the Word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Okay? Remember, Exodus 12? Who was talking to Moses? God was. So through Moses, we have a direct pipeline to God for the Passover. Now, we have an intercessor now, those of us that are children of God. We have a perfect intercessor. Moses was not a perfect intercessor, so to speak. He was never called an intercessor, to my knowledge, anyway. But he was, I'll call him a go-between rather than intercessor, between him and the children, between God and the children of Israel. But he was imperfect. So consequently, he didn't get to go over into the promised land. Anyway, we have a perfect intercessor, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, he's making intercession for me. When I mess up, when I don't do things the way I had planned, maybe, or something like that, and I don't do it exactly right, he makes intercession for me. And I believe the same thing with prayer. Now, I know the Holy Spirit leads us as we pray, most generally, if we're praying right, anyway. But when we pray and we don't do it right, the Lord makes intercession for us. When we don't do things, if we have opportunity to witness, and we don't, the Lord is making intercession for us. Anytime we do something wrong or don't do something right, Jesus is making intercession for us. Anyway, verse 7. And Josiah gave to the people. Now, I told you earlier that the people, I think it was in verse 5, yeah, about how the people were to bring in the lamb and give it to the Levites to kill it and do the prep work and everything like that and to give the blood to the priest. But this was a little bit different situation here. This had gone on so long, and I think Josiah probably felt responsible for some of it. If you see the way he suffered when he heard the book read to him the first time, I think he suffered mentally and physically and spiritually. And Josiah gave to the people of the flocks, lambs, and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000, and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. So the people, he gave these to the people, and they did what they were supposed to do, and they brought them in, but he gave it to them. That's what it says there in the first thing. And Josiah gave to the people of the flocks, of his own lambs, of his own goats, the kids, and of his own cattle, the bullocks. And then they did their part as they were supposed to do. And it says all for the Passover offering. When it's talking about the lambs and the kids, these were all for the Passover offerings. This wasn't to be used for anything else. And he goes on there and says, for all that were present, and up to the number of 30,000. So if he gave them 30,000 lambs and kids, or any combination thereof, then that was enough for at least 30,000 families. But what about the 3,000 bullocks? Now, we're not going to study about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but that's the 7 days immediately after the Passover. You have the Passover, and then the next 7 days is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I believe that that's what the bullocks are for. There are some things in here that are not necessarily in chronological order. Pastor's been teaching in Revelation, and that one, I don't think there's anything in chronological order there, but... Anyway, other places in the Bible, you know, we've read where things aren't necessarily in chronological order. But he also gave 3,000 bullocks. Now, it doesn't say that these were given directly to the people. So I think that these were for peace offerings for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what else happened? Verse 8, and his princes gave willingly unto the people. Well, unto the people, okay. To the priests and to the Levites. Now I want you to get the order of this. Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priest for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle, that's lambs and kids, and 300 oxen. So Hilkiah was the high priest. And according to what I've studied, Zechariah and Jehiel were chief priests or over some of the service of the temple. But they gave to the priests. So the rich priests were given to the poor priests for the Passover. Verse 9, and Cananiah also, and Shemaiah, and Nathaniel, his brethren, and Hashabiah, and Jeiel, and Jozabad, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for the Passover offerings, Passover offerings, 5,000 small cattle, in other words, sheep, lambs and kids, and 500 oxen. So the priests gave to the priests, the Levites gave to the Levites, the king gave to the people. Now, we don't see much things like that nowadays, you know, when the president or king, whatever you want to call him, you know, he gets up there and he says, well, we're going to give everybody $2,000. I'll tell you, the president ain't giving anybody anything. You know where that comes from? That comes from your back pocket. This is coming right straight from the king, from his substance, it says here in verse 7. The king's substance. So we're going to read one more verse. Verse 10. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses, according to the king's commandment. Everything was done right, by the book, so to speak. So anyway, next week we'll finish up with the Passover, and I don't know how far we'll get. Hopefully we'll finish up with the Passover, because I've done killed all the rabbits this time. So we'll we'll be able to finish up with the Passover, and then after that we'll have just a little bit more about Josiah. And then we're getting pretty close to the end. Anyway, everybody tune back in about 5 minutes. And Pastor's got a great message this morning.